We here are all such innovative people. So I am telling you, if you want to change the world, you're at Georgia Tech. You can do that. If you want to build the Iron Man suit, you're at Georgia Tech. You can do that. If you want to play theme music during your convocation speech like a badass, we're at Georgia Tech. We can do that. I am doing that.
And I am doing this now. What is this, you might ask? You might be very confused. Maybe you've stumbled across this as you were going down an internet loophole. Maybe you found this on one of the various social media platforms that I have linked it. Or maybe it just popped up on your suggested and you decided to give it a listen because, hey, that picture's interesting. Well, this podcast is known as What's the Good Word? I am your humble host, Joshua Julian, and consider this your one-stop shop for anything and everything related to Atlanta sports. We've got Falcons, Georgia Tech, Braves, and the Atlanta Hawks. Talked about Georgia Tech and the Falcons this week. We've got the Hawks episode coming later in the week, but today we're talking about the Atlanta Braves. I am recording this after the final game of the Mariner series. We'll talk about that, but we've got some other games to talk about first, and then I'm going to do a bit of a deep dive, as deep as I'm going to go, because I don't want to bore you guys too much with too many numbers and too many stats, but I'm going to do a deep dive into the Braves offense. Three specific guys who are kind of scuffling to begin the year, and we should talk. We're going to talk about what's concerning, what's just kind of, you know, noise, small sample size. We are about 30 games into the season, right? Braves currently sit. We'll talk about that, actually, because I don't want us to bury the lead. So, we recorded the last episode in the middle of the Marlins series. The Braves, in the final game of that series on Wednesday the 24th, they took home a win, completing a sweep of the Marlins, 4-3 win in extra innings, 10th inning walk-off from Michael Harris, where he hit the Cristiano Ronaldo celebration, and in Mike's words, sorry, not sorry, favorite Twitter bio, favorite Twitter post of his own. He had a walk-off single. I believe he was the first batter, in fact, of the 10th inning, as I pull up the game summary to make sure. Yes, first batter of the 10th inning after the Braves got out unscathed of their 10th inning with the ghost runner on second and everything. Michael Harris, a single to left field where Ronald Acuna scored from second. The Braves took home the win. A good, solid start from Ronaldo Lopez because, of course, this is what he's done all year. 7 innings, 3 hits, only 1 earned run, 2 walks, and 6 strikeouts. That was the only run that had been given up through 8. Joe Jimenez worked a scoreless 8th until Ronaldo Lopez came in, Raisel Iglesias. Marcelo Iglesias, the normally reliable closer, blew his first save of the year, giving up 3 hits, 2 runs, only 1 earned run to let the Marlins tie the game in the 3rd inning. And A.J. Minter did come in for the 10th. He did give up a hit, did give up a walk. Bases were loaded in the 10th, but he did his job, and he kept the fish from scoring. And wonderful day for the Braves, right? Offensively, Michael Harris, most notable guy, 3-for-5 with those 3 singles. Also brought in that game-winning run. You also had a double from Matt Olson as he went 1-for-3 and scored one of the runs. Brought his average to .216 as of that game. He's scuffling just a little bit. You also had a 3-for-4 day and 2 RBIs from Marcell Ozuna and 1 hit each from Jared Kelnick, Chadwick Trump, and Adam Duvall at the bottom of the order. Ronald Acuna was 0-for-3, but he also drew 2 walks and scored 2 runs. So I would still call that a good, solid game from Ronald. Not what you're looking for. You are looking for more of the power, but gets on base. He also had a stolen base on the game, which brought him his total to 11 on the year. So he at least was making stuff happen as he is scuffling at the plate. The Braves' next series, next visitors in Atlanta were the Cleveland Guardians, AL best Cleveland Guardians. That is a sentence that I never thought I'd say. And to lead off the series on Friday, the Braves got a 6-2 win on the day. Started off, the Guardians got a quick one in the first, but the Braves put up 3 in the 4th, 1 in the 5th, 1 in the 6th, and then 1 in the 8th. Guardians did not score again until the 9th inning, so it was just a great all-around game. Once again, Acuna at the top of the order. Did not have a hit, but drew 2 walks, raising his on-base percentage to .416 on the year, which is an elite number. Unfortunately, the slugging percentage is at .370, so a little give and a little take. You had multi-hit days from Ozzie Albies and Orlando Arcia had a home run from Orlando Arcia as well. Doubles from Ozzy, double from Marcell Ozuna, double from Michael Harris. Just a lot of overall offensive contributions. Nobody had a truly standout day, but you know, Matt Olson got a hit with an RBI. You had the RBI from Orlando Arcia. It was just a good, solid offensive day. Pitching-wise, Chris Sale went seven strong once again. Two hits, one run, only one of them, that own run was earned, but he had one walk and then six strikeouts. Exactly what you are looking to see from Chris Sale. He has taken to this number two, number three starting assignment. He has taken to it very, very quickly and very, very well. Pierce Johnson worked a clean eighth inning with a strikeout, nobody on base. Tyler Matzek came in for a third of an inning, gave up two hits, did allow that run to score, did get a strikeout as well. AJ Minter came in and cleaned it up with the rest and shut the door on the game. So a 6-2 win that was unfortunately followed by a 4-2 loss in 11 innings. It was scoreless through seven. The Braves, it was a good old-fashioned pitcher's duel between Charlie Morton and Tanner Bibee. Both went seven innings. Bibee gave up two hits and with no walks and nine punch-outs, while Charlie gave up four hits and a walk with six punch-outs. Like I said, good old-fashioned pitcher's duel. The moment the bullpens came in, the Guardians scored two in the eighth inning off of Joe Jimenez, the one time I've really seen him scuffle this year, on three hits, did get those, give those two runs up. The Braves in the bottom of the eighth immediately got it right back off Hunter Gaddis. In quick succession, it was like the moment that he came in, you had Marcell Ozuna get on, Michael Harris move him over, Travis d'Arnaud with an RBI double to left field, then Jared Kelnick hit a bloop single that was able to get Michael Harris home. Luke Williams tried to score as a pinch runner from second, was not able to get all the way around, kind of miscalculated how far the ball had squirted away from the center fielder, and was gunned down at the plate. Great throw from the Guardians. And getting into the extra innings, you know, the Braves had plenty of chances to score. In fact, they had the bases loaded in the 10th inning. When you look at the start of the 10th, after the Guardians went down 1-2-3, which is incredibly impressive, they intentionally walked Marcell Ozuna to make it first and second. Orlando Arcia then got a single, which loaded the bases. Matt Olson to third, Ozuna to second, and then Arcia at first. Michael Harris, on like the first pitch of the at-bat, hit a squibber to the pitcher. It was not a good at-bat from Michael Harris. They got the guy at home, Matt Olson out at home. They loaded the bases again after that. They got the one out. And then you had Chadwick Tromp come up because he was catching for the day. Horrible at-bat, swinging a ton of down and away sliders, just looked outmatched. And he goes down, and then Jared Kelnick grounds out to Andrés Giménez. In the 11th inning, the Guardians did get through. A double from Josh Naylor and then a sacrifice fly from Ramon Laureano ended the game for the Guardians on top 4-2. Two hits from Marcell Ozuna on the day. So you had two doubles, a double from d'Arnaud and then a double from Ozzie Albies. Not great, not ideal. The offense just kind of didn't show up in this game. They didn't do enough to pick up the pitching staff, but you'll take it. The next day, the Braves went to extra innings again. In 10 innings, the Braves got another win in extra innings. After the Guardians had went up 3-1 at the end of the 7th inning, the Braves scored 2 in the 8th to tie it. And in the 10th inning, the walk-off belonged to Austin Riley with a strong single to center field, scoring Ronald Acuña Jr. As for box score stats, multi-hit games from Ozzie Albies and Austin Riley. You had a double from Ozzy, a double from Jared Kelnick, RBIs from Riley, RBI from Olson, Albies, even Chadwick Tromp got in. Bryce Elder got the start, 5 1/3, a decent start from Bryce, nothing to write home about. He gave up four hits, two runs, four walks, two strikeouts. His ERA does still sit at 1.5 on the year, so he's at least making an argument for that number five spot. Aaron Bummer worked an inning and a third, did give up three hits and a run, but he also had two strikeouts, effectively ate some innings. And then Tyler Matzek, Raisel Iglesias, AJ Minter, each worked an inning, each gave up a hit, each did not allow them to score, and that was what was needed from the Braves on this day. So they squeaked out the series against the Guardians. I mean, outside of the first game, it was back-to-back extra inning games. The pitching staff, fantastic in that series. I mean, two runs, four runs, three runs. The Braves' pitching staff was doing what they needed to do, and they did it again in this series against the Mariners. It's just that the offense kind of no-showed the first two games. So the first game on Monday, the Braves were like getting perfect game through five innings. I don't think the Braves got their first hit until the sixth, and on the game, they only had three total. So the Braves in the top of the seventh, they were able, this is after, you know, just going down in order. They got their, they got a guy on in the sixth inning. They got a Travis d'Arnaud walk to break up the perfect game. And then the seventh inning, Ronald Acuna broke up the no-hitter with a single to shortstop, where he then proceeded to steal second and then steal third. And then Ozzie hit a double to score Ronald. So even in his scuffles, Ronald finds ways to change games. But then everything kind of fizzled out from there. Back-to-back strikeouts from Riley and Olson, followed by a flyout from Marcell Ozuna. And then that one was not enough, as the Mariners in the bottom of the ninth, after the Braves pitching staff held them scoreless all day, they had a single from Jorge Polanco and then a Mitch Garver homer to walk off the game. Max Fried threw a no-hitter himself in six innings, two walks, seven strikeouts, an absolutely wonderful performance from Max Fried, really starting to dispel some of these problems we were seeing at the beginning of the year. Pierce Johnson worked a clean seventh, so the Braves did have a no-hitter going into the eighth inning, where Joe Jimenez gave up two hits. They did not score, although they did get the bases loaded with two hits and a walk, but he had two strikeouts, and that was what was needed. It was A.J. Minter in the ninth inning that blew the game. Now, I'm not going to crap on him too much, because A.J. Minter has been fantastic, even with those two earned runs and zero innings pitched. His ERA went to 2.63. It was like a 1.3 before the game. So he got caught. Mitch Garver got him lefty-lefty. Just, it is what it is. You know, you'll deal with it. The Braves offense, again, three hits on the day, whole bunch of strikeouts, 10 Ks from starter Bryce Miller, plus four from the bullpen, 14 punchouts on the day. Not a good day. And then the next game, the next day, it was a 3-2 win for the Mariners. They went up 3-0 at the end of the fourth after two runs in the third. And the Braves scored two in the eighth to at least make it close, but they were not able to seal the deal all the way, as Ronaldo Lopez had his first bad start as an Atlanta Brave. Five innings pitched, six hits, three earned runs, two walks, and seven strikeouts. So even in his bad starts, it's still a defensible line. Like, it's not great. And if our offense plays the way they normally play, you can still get out of there with a win on an average night. Braves bats just were not there. They faced one of the best starters in baseball right now, Luis Castillo, who went seven innings, only giving up three hits, one walk, with seven strikeouts. They got all their damage done on Ryan Stanek, who came out of the bullpen, only lasted a third of an inning. But then Andres Munoz came in and got it, worked an inning and two-thirds and closed the door on the Atlanta Braves. Jesse Chavez worked two strong innings, and Aaron Bummer got a good inning in there as well. Offensively from the Braves, no extra base hits, all singles. Two hits from Ozzie Albies, and then just a assorted one apiece from various people in the lineup. Nothing really to write home about. An interesting trend, though, in that the Braves haven't homered in a while. In a while is the best way to put it. The last time the Braves had a home run, looking through everything in the box score right now, the last home run goes back past, I believe, the Guardians series. The last one was Orlando Arcia in that first Cleveland game. They did not hit a single home run in the next two games. They did not hit a single home run against the Mariners in these two games, and they did not hit a single home run in the final game of the series, which the Braves did win. So the Braves do avoid the sweep in Seattle, 5-2 win. The offense did kind of wake up. They scored one in the third and four in the fourth, did what they had to do, didn't do much after that, and the Mariners did end up getting 10 hits on the day compared to the Braves' six. The Braves just made all of theirs count. A 2-for-5 day at the top of the order from Ronald Acuna, where he did score two runs as well whenever he got on base. He was scoring. He also had three strikeouts. We're going to talk about that a little bit later. A 2-for-4 day from Austin Riley with the two RBIs. He also hit a triple in this game. That was a ball to the wall that the right fielder was not able to catch, and as the ball kind of bounced around and he struggled to get to his feet, Riley was able to burn the bases around and get to this plate. But they were the two main sources of offense. You did get an RBI single from Matt Olson, as well as an RBI single, an RBI sack fly from Marcell Ozuna. But the Braves were very opportunistic when they got a chance. They didn't have a bunch of guys on base. Once they got guys on base, though, they did score them. You'll see, I mean, two hits from Acuna, two runs, one hit from Ozzie Albies, one run, as well as two hits from Austin Riley, the one run scored. Orlando Arcia did get a run. Chris Sale, five innings, nine strikeouts. His slider was working. Did give up six hits, though, but they did, and it was a trend for almost all the pitchers, from Dylan Lee to everybody else. It seemed like they were getting a lot of hits with two outs. So they would get the first two batters, and the Braves pitchers just couldn't get them away just yet, so there'd be a couple guys on base. Eventually, they'd get out of it, but still made us sweat at home just a little bit. But outside of the one run from Chris Sale and then the one run from Dylan Lee in his 1 2/3 of an inning, they did not get anything else after Dylan Lee left the game. AJ Minter, Joe Jimenez, Raisel Iglesias slammed the door. So the Braves, a successful week. In the time that we were gone, they picked up 4 wins, 3 losses. Not a great week, but still over 500. Up next, next series that we'll be talking about when we come back, they will be traveling to LA to face the Los Angeles Dodgers in a weekend series, followed by a trip to Boston where they will face do a 2-game series against the Boston Red Sox. So some good competition coming up here, and we'll have that next week. But now we get to get into the other conversation of the day. The Atlanta Braves, their offense has been relatively good this year. They are in tops in the major leagues in most statistical categories. After the last couple games, I'm sure they've fallen at least 1 or 2 spots, not putting out great offensive outputs. And it's partially due to 3 big-time offensive players not producing up to their career norms. They are scuffling at the plate, to say the least. And it's 3 of the 4 guys that hit at the top of the order. Matt Olson, Austin Riley, and Ronald Acuna. Now, Ronald Acuna deserves credit. He is hitting for a relatively high average, if these numbers are not up to date just yet. But coming into today's game, Acuna was hitting at .245. That will go up with the 2 singles today. He is getting on base at a really good clip. He's got a .366 on base percentage, leads the team with 18 walks. The issue is the slugging percentage is .318. Not a great slug. He is not hitting for any power. He has 1 home run, 5 doubles, no triples. So he does have 13 stolen bases. He is still causing havoc on the base paths when he gets on there. He is just not squaring the ball up necessarily as much as you would want him to. As for the other two, Austin Riley is hitting .226, .290 with a .299 on base and .365 slugging percentage, .664 OPS. That is an 87 OPS plus. While Matt Olson is hitting .202, but he has a .317 on base and a .385 slugging percentage, so he is right below league average at a .702 OPS. He still has the 3 home runs, the 9 doubles. Austin Riley has 8 doubles and 2 home runs. Part of the issue is both of them, and Acuna both, 30-plus strikeouts on the year. 32 for Matt Olson, 33 for Austin Riley, and 35 for Ronald Acuna Jr. So looks like they're struggling to catch up with the ball right now. And so that's why I kind of like looking at them. I've watched them, and I feel like they're not having the worst at bat. So I decided, you know what? Let's go to Statcast. Let's go to Baseball Savant, and let's at least get a read on kind of like what are we looking at on kind of under the hood. You know, to use a sports writer term. What's going on under the hood? Well, when you look at Ronald Acuna, he is still hitting the ball relatively hard. His average exit velocity is in the 80th percentile at 91.2 miles per hour off the bat. He's got a hard hit percentage of 48%, which is 81st percentile, and he does have a walk percentage in the 90th percentile. So he's still hitting the ball relatively hard, not as hard as he did last year. If you go back to last year's stats, I mean, he was in the 100th percentile on almost everything. Average exit velocity, his hard hit rate was in the 98th percentile. Expected batting average, expecting slugging percentage, 100 percentile. It was a season for the ages. So there was always going to be a level of regression. He wasn't going to hit .340 again with a .470 season. I don't think we expected him to come back to earth this much, though. But there is something to be said for, one, offense seems to be down across the league. Like, home runs are down, it looks like. There's some theories out there that MLB has kind of messed with the baseballs and deadened the baseballs a little bit. I don't have a ton of numbers on that. I just saw one example of, like, Matt Olson hit a ball 105 miles an hour with a 23-degree launch angle, and, like, you would expect it to go farther, and it went, like, 360 feet. There's a level of, you can say, oh, it's dead baseballs. I'm wondering how much of it is the colder air, especially if he was up in Seattle where it's like 50 degrees. Normally, as the weather warms up, you start to see the home runs fly out of the park a little bit more. So I don't want to say anything about the baseballs until we get into June and July, as the weather warms up and as the balls start to fly a little bit more. Right now, there's always a level of like around this time last year, Acuna was at like 3 or 4 home runs, maybe a little bit more. So he's at least... He's stolen bases. He's still providing a ton of value on the base paths and with his arm. He's still a valuable player. He's just struggling with velocity, it seems like. Now, if you scroll down a little bit more and you start to look into the specifics of it, especially by pitch. He is seeing a lot of four-seam fastballs, it looks like. The fastball, the pitch percentage is up to 64% this year, which would be a career high. They're throwing him less breaking pitches, about the same amount of off-speed stuff. And when you look at how he is faring against those balls, he is hitting 350 on off-speed stuff. He's hitting 250 on breaking pitches, and he is hitting 210 on fastballs. 23 of his strikeouts have been on fastballs. And last year, he only struck out on 46 fastballs total. So you really see it, because also last year, he hit 340 on fastballs. So that's the biggest issue right now, is he is just getting, it is getting blown by him. And I wonder how much of it was that knee injury in the middle of spring training, kind of throwing off his timing. He had played winter ball in Venezuela, kind of went right into spring training, so he was kind of on a roll. You could see it when he was out there. He was, you know, wrecking the ball. So when you shut it down for a couple weeks and then have to immediately ramp up and get into midseason, you know, get ready for the regular season, I wonder how much of that is that that's what it is. Now, we are, you know, 29, 30 games into the season. I'm not going to write him off. I think it's that we've got to give him a second to kind of get back into it. And again, he's still providing so much value. He's drawing plenty of walks. He's stealing bases left, right, and center. I think that the contact will come, and I think the home runs will come. But when you look at his, like, what he's putting, he's hitting the ball on the ground a lot more this year than ever before. Even last year, he had put up a career high in ground ball percentage, but it was okay because he was putting up a really good line drive percentage. He still had some fly balls, but his pull rate was all, you know, it was their pop up. Sorry. His pull rate was at an all time high. He was kind of spraying the ball over the place. He was not hitting the ball weakly at all. This year, he's hitting the ball on the ground on over half of his batted balls. That's kind of where the problem starts to lie, right? He's not lifting the ball. He's struggling to get around on fastballs. So I'm not too worried about it. I think that he'll come around. Looking at everybody else, we're going to see if it's the same thing for the other two sluggers. They don't have the injury thing to kind of fall back on. They are just getting off to slow starts, but you know, it is what it is. Austin Riley is still barreling the ball up. His barrel percentage is 13.4%, 88th percentile. Same problem as Acuna, though. His whiff percentage, his K percentages are both incredibly high. And when you compare him to his season long numbers last year, they're higher than they were. Now, Austin has always kind of been a guy that chases, a guy that whiffs. Like last year, even in his great year, his strikeout percentage was 24%. So far this year, he's at 26%. So not much change. He just kind of is what he is. I think that there's just a level of the ball is not finding the ground. You know what I mean? And that kind of shows up when you look at the quote-unquote advanced numbers. So on every single pitch type this year, or at least on fastballs and off speeds, his expected batting average is higher than his actual batting average. Now, it evens out because his breaking ball batting average is a lot higher than it should be, according to these numbers, but he's also struggling against fastballs. He has struck out 18 times so far this year on fastballs, hitting 222 on them. Breaking pitches, he's hitting very well. Off-speed stuff, he is not touching, but he hasn't seen a ton of them. He's only seen 39 off-speed pitches all year. The book on Austin Riley has always kind of been the low and away slider, similar to Marcelo Ozuna. So he's putting the ball on the ground at similar rates, similar fly ball rate, similar line drive weight rate. His pull percentage is down just a little bit. But his weak contact percentage is right around the same as it would normally be. His solid hit rate down just a little bit, but the barrels are still there. The barrels per play. I mean, I think Austin will be okay. I think Austin is getting there. I think he's just missing on missing a little too often. His whiff percentage is higher than it normally is. His zone contact rate is down about 1%. He's actually not chasing as much as he did last year, but Austin, I think, is just going through a bit of a cold stretch. Something we call it baseball, right? It's just baseball. He's dealing with baseball right now. As for Matt Olson, looking at his numbers, he is hitting 206 currently on the year with 3 home runs. His average exit velocity, 97th percentile. Hard hit rate, 98th percentile. The biggest issue I see is, once again, the strikeout rate and the whiff rate, and they're both up from what they were last year. Strikeout rate last year was 23%. This year, we're at 26%. It's gone down a bit. But again, he's still hitting the ball hard. He's still making a good level of that. It's the question is, how much contact is he making? So as we scroll through this, we will get to that here eventually. So if it's any consolation, his expected batting average based on batted ball metrics should be about 258. So he is underperforming the statistics. I mean, most of his numbers are kind of right in line with where they normally are. In fact, he's actually hitting the ball harder. He's got a hard hit rate higher than what it was full season last year. So I would bet it's going to even out. It looks like he's just underperforming a lot of his numbers. I mean, his expected batting averages are all higher than his actual batting averages. I think he's just getting a stretch of bad luck. Again, strikeout rates kind of in line with what he's normally at. When you look at everything else, the ground ball rate is in line. He's actually hitting more line drives this year than he ever has. On a smaller sample size, all fairness. Fly ball rate's just down a little bit, but I both of them I think will bounce back. So that's why I don't want us to get into them too much. You know what I mean? I don't want to see, most Braves fans are coming to their defenses. I don't want to see us get down on these guys too much because it's 30 games. This is a 162-game season. We still have 130 games left to play. There's still so much time for them to... I mean, Matt Olson had a slow start to his Braves career, so I'm not going to sell stock on any of these guys after 30 games. It is concerning that they're striking out a little bit more, especially with Ronald, because of the knee injury and what that might be doing to him. We don't know. He probably wouldn't let on if it was hurting him anyway. But Austin and Matt both, I think they just have experienced a level of bad luck. They have also been, you know, striking out. They've been behind a little bit. They're getting into midseason form, but they've also been hitting the ball very hard. They've been getting into the barrel. They've just got to, luck will even out on their end eventually, right? So, and until then, Marcell Ozuna remains very hot. Ozzie Albies has been having a great year. Jared Kelenic still hitting 300. Orlando Arcia gets very, very timely hits, and we're still waiting on the return of Sean Murphy. So the Braves offense still looking very, very good. Once those three get going, it could be curtains for the rest of the league. But no reason to sell on any of those guys. So that is going to do it for today's episode. If you liked what you heard, leave me a review, leave me a comment, let me know if there's something you agree with, if you disagree with it, leave it under this podcast, or you can email me at joshuajulian26@outlook.com. Stick around at this channel for all the other sports content. We've got everything from the city of Atlanta. If you're a basketball fan, we'll talk about the Hawks. If you're a football fan, we'll talk about the Falcons. If you really like college sports and you are one of the many the Georgia Tech alum or fans, we've got a podcast for you too, because there's plenty of UGA podcasts out there. There aren't as many Georgia Tech podcasts. They're a Power Four school too. They deserve it, and they've got some stuff cooking. You can hear about that on the previous episode, but that's going to do it for me. Got to ask the question. It's the name of the podcast. If you're a Tech fan, you know it. If you're not a Tech fan, look it up and get to know it. The answer to the question, say it after I ask them. What's the good word?